the cap and trade tax just passed a Senate committee yesterday. And we've got a good friend of the show, State Senator Mark Schessler, who's been part of the Olympia scene now for some 30 years, joining us this morning to spotlight that so you'll know all about it. Senator Schessler, good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, good. Great to be back with you, John.
You know, a lot of people are understandably going to be very confused between the low carbon fuel standard and the cap and trade. A lot of people think, well, isn't that all just, you know, a different name for the same thing? And no, there are very clear distinctions.
Well, they have a couple of things in common. One, they raise taxes, and second, they mug the everyday hardworking taxpayer.
Yes, in the name of helping the environment, it's not really clear the degree to which they do help the environment. We've got some great work from Todd Myers at Washington Policy Center showing that there are far cheaper ways of achieving the same environmental benefit as a low carbon fuel standard. But again, the low carbon fuel standard punishes people who drive, and that's part of the ideological imperative, punish people who drive. So tell us who gets hit with the cap and trade and how it works.
Well, under cap and trade, and I'll try and keep it as brief as I can, there is a carbon trading system set up for polluters. And polluters in the eyes of the liberal. And they have to buy credits if they don't reduce their emissions, managed by the wonderfully efficient Department of Ecology. Or they get a flat-out exemption because they're trade-dependent, energy-intensive. Who doesn't get a hall pass is the hardworking taxpayer. At the end of the day, the small business that has a delivery truck, service trucks, the people that work there, they get ripped off while the elite get a pass.
Can you give me an example with two, you know, real world companies and how they are hit differently from this by this?
Okay, I'll pick one out and I'll go after my own region, a food processor. They clearly are global. They get a phase in to buy these credits because of their energy usage. Great. But the business who may be one of your advertisers that has delivery trucks, they don't get a pass. The company that comes and does mobile glass repairs, for example, they don't get a pass. The hardworking people that are commuting every day, they don't get a pass. And about half of the money goes to boondoggle projects by the governor. The other half is vaguely described as transportation. My good friend Senator Gildin just simply called it pay to pollute.
Pay to pollute.
Except Mark, the people that pay Gildin are hardworking taxpayers.
Okay, that's Chris Gildin in Pierce County. So how much will this cost the person listening to you and me talk right now? How do they get impacted?
Well, I think it's very possible from the data I've seen is that we could see another 20 cents per gallon on fuel prices on top of the gas tax without roads plan and a House or Senate transportation plan. And you add them all together and it's a lot of money on that average taxpayer.
Okay, well, if the Democrats had their way on just the gas tax, that's 18 cents a gallon. If they got their way on cap and tax, or excuse me, on low carbon fuel standard, that's another 57 cents a gallon. And if this cap and trade process goes through, that's approximately another 20 cents. So we could, at the end of this legislative session, see, according to my math here, 95 cents in increased gasoline tax?
I think if you look at the full phase in, those figures are very, very accurate.
Now, I should point out, before any of this stuff, just looking at the system we have now, I believe the gas tax is 49.5 cents a gallon.
We're the third highest in America. The only difference is we do dedicate transportation to roads where other states do use some general fund money, but we're always amongst the leaders in gas tax without these.
So we already have the third highest gas tax in America at 49.6, I think, cents. And that doesn't include the federal gas tax, which add another 18 cents. So every time you buy a gallon of gas right now, you go to the gas pump, you fuel up, every gallon of gas costs you an extra 67 cents in tax, 49.6 for the state gas tax, another 18 cents for the federal. And in addition to that, you've got three proposals on the table, an increase in the gas tax, another 18 cents, the low carbon fuel standard, 57 cents over time, and the so-called cap and trade, which passed yesterday by a single vote out of a Senate committee, another 20 cents. So another 95 cents out of this legislative session. That's what we're looking at?
But it gets worse, John. Two of the three proposals do not fix transportation. They don't fix ruts and potholes. They don't build more lane miles. They don't build a new overpass. Only the gas tax does those. The gas tax imposed through low carbon fuels or the cap and tax proposal don't necessarily build 1 mile or fix one pothole with those funds, which is a complete and total ripoff of the taxpayer.
Okay, so who is fighting this? Now, and the KVI listeners have been fighting the low carbon fuel standard, and I should point out, have played a pivotal role in batting it down for the last 3 years. And this year, it looks like it's heading toward passage. Correct?
Yes, it's on a course that it could very well pass as some sort of a evil grand bargain.
Well, the grand bargain seems to be between liberal and left-wing Democrats. That's who seems to be in on the bargain. And
well,
the
I
person
think
who's handled
Olympia
the bit
up quite well, my friend.
and the people who are handed the bill are the people listening to the show.
Absolutely. You're not going to see Amazon spend two nickels on this. But you will see the average listener in their car this morning paying.
Okay, hold on. What about Amazon's fleet of cars and vans, delivery vans and trucks?
They're electrifying.
Okay.
They have the resources to electrify for any reason they like. The average motorist doesn't have the choice. They're like, I think I'll just electrify my car and my truck this weekend. Doesn't happen.
So, again, to put it in very stark terms, Amazon has little to fear from any one of these proposals going through. But, say, one of our sponsors, Genuine Auto Glass, which will, send their van to, the parking lot where your car just got hit with a baseball and has a cracked windshield, they get to pay. But not Amazon.
And who has the easier time passing on increased costs? Your sponsor or Amazon?
Boy, oh boy.
The average taxpayer driving today has no way to pass that on.
Well, well, well. Look at how Olympia is working, and look who they're not working for. This is very good. And again, the low carbon fuel standard might very well pass. What about this so-called cap and trade proposal? What are the odds that passes, Senator Mark Schessler?
Well, right now both pass committee by the narrowest one vote margin. The one thing they do enjoy is bipartisan opposition, and that's where the public has a real chance to weigh in, because there is bipartisan opposition, and the people that have to pay the bill, not the well-heeled special interests, have to speak up.
Boy, I'll say. When is the most timely moment for KVI listeners to weigh in on this?
Now.
Okay, right now?
This week, next week, as the budgets roll out, as we're on the floor, the time to speak is now.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to do exactly that. Encourage KVI listeners this week and next week to weigh in against all three of these things. The gas tax of 18 cents, the low carbon fuel standard, which is just an utter total waste. This is a vanity project for Jay Inslee. Okay, Oregon and California have this misbegotten low carbon fuel standard, and so does BC. And Washington does not. The legislature keeps saying no. And when the legislature doesn't say no, the public says no. Remember, they rejected Initiative 1631 by, I think, 13 percentage points. And it galls Inslee because he wants this reputation as the greenest governor in America, and yet we don't have it. And these other places, these other states do. So anyway, we will start working the phone lines and the legislative hotline on this, Senator Schessler. Appreciate that. I assume the legislative hotline is the most effective way?
You know, it never fails us. Low technology still works.
Excellent. Hey, thanks again for joining us and for ringing the bell on this.
Great to be back with you, John.
You got it. This has not made the papers that I have seen. It's not getting much attention, but boy, is it going to cost the average person and the average small business that relies on transportation to remain in business.